Hey, good evening, Steele.
Good evening, Dave. Great
How
to
are you
see
doing
you.
tonight?
I'm terrific. It's spring has come to Madison. The trees are in bloom. Green
Oh,
grass
nice.
is back. It just feels like a livable city all over again.
That's crazy. So the snow has melted.
Yeah, it's been gone for at least a week.
Steele, I brought somebody to brighten up your spring even more tonight. This is the most professional person that I know, and now that you know. This is Grayson.
Hey, Grayson.
This is high praise, Dave.
Well, dude, look at you. You got some professional-looking glasses, a very trim haircut. How long you been doing the shaved hair?
Probably about since the last time I saw you. I grew the beard, stopped wearing contacts, and cut off all my hair mostly so I could stop taking care of myself generally
It looks great.
And for folks that are listening at home and can't see the images, we're talking with Dave's friend, former Duke basketball player Grayson Allen. So a lot nicer in person.
Yeah, he looks great, and he has not tried to trip anybody since we've started this phone call. So
not at all.
So Grayson, I don't know if you're interested in NBA basketball playoffs, but that's pretty much all me and Steele have done for the past week.
Mm-hmm. True.
Is this in your realm of being whatsoever? Do you watch any NBA?
So, I opened up this document and I skipped for some reason the first couple lines, and I started reading through these names. I had no idea. And then I went to the top of the page again and said NBA playoffs.
So, Dave, the problem is Grayson lives in New York, and New York hasn't tasted the NBA playoffs in like a decade. The Nets, the Knicks, there's no point. There's no point in talking about playoffs if you've got a New York guy on the show.
Yeah, that's probably
so. So, Grayson, you can just sit silent for a minute. But me and Steele have been texting back and forth while we've been watching these games, and I just want to share a couple things that we love about the playoffs right now. So my favorite player right now, Steele, is of course Joe Ingles. You familiar with this guy?
Australian legend. You know, I hadn't seen him much in person or on the TV until this year for the playoffs, but I love him. I don't understand how he's a successful NBA player, but
no, he does not look athletic whatsoever. My favorite story, I think it was from earlier this year. His wife was flying from Australia, maybe it was a different year, to see him play in the NBA for the first time. And while she was on the plane, the Clippers, so she couldn't see him because he was no longer in the NBA.
Yeah.
But
they
now
literally cut him when his wife was flying to see him play for the first time. Classic, high class move.
But he's getting his vengeance. He's playing great so far against the Clippers in the playoffs. I love him. I love his blue collar attitude. And it makes me feel if I was 1 foot taller, I could be in the NBA.
So true, Dave. If only, just a little bit. It's little things. I have to say, this year my playoff favorite, there's obviously the classic favorites. You've got the Steven Adams, but he's no longer in the playoffs. They just got knocked out tonight. And I was thinking for a second, I really liked what Alan Crabb was doing with his hair over in Portland. But they got kicked out of the playoffs too. So I got to go with someone who's going to make a deep run. And for that reason, JaVale McGee, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Golden State Warriors. Grayson, have you ever heard of this guy, seen this guy play? Shaq has been making fun of him for like 5 years now, pretty consistently.
JaVale McGee?
Yeah.
No, never heard of him.
What you need to do, Grayson, do yourself a favor and Google JaVale McGee haircut.
All right.
From the front, from the side, he looks pretty normal, got a headband on. But he's got like a triple rat tail braid coming out the back right now in the playoffs. It's a work of art. The man himself, he's like a super energetic child the way he plays basketball. It's really good. He just makes the Golden State Warriors that much more enjoyable for me this year, Dave.
It is fantastic. And seriously, Grayson, I think it's a hairstyle you should consider because you wouldn't have to make much change.
Yeah. So my favorite non-player in the playoffs this year, Dave, I got to go with Memphis Grizzlies coach David Fizdale. Did you see the little something about data rant?
What is it? It's a quote that's the internet's love, something like that, like take that for data, something
yeah,
like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. But the thing is, I didn't really know much about him. The speech was hilarious. It's going to be on commercials for the next decade. But I started reading about him and learning about him. He grew up in South Central LA. His grandpa, who was like a pillar of the community, was shot in the front on his front porch. He's led a really interesting, challenging life. And I just respect him as like a man and as a coach. He's like my new favorite NBA guy. I'm into him.
Well, if you want to talk respect for someone that's not a player, then you, of course, have to talk about James Goldstein. Are you familiar with this guy?
You know, Dave, I wasn't until you posted the link to him. And now I wonder what I've been doing with my life. He's the Grayson, he's the Grayson of L.A., basically.
So Grayson, this guy, very wealthy, always wears a terrible black cowboy hat and just long, scraggly white hair. And he sits courtside at every NBA playoff game. I was watching the Clippers play. He's courtside. The next day, he's courtside in San Antonio. The guy is a super fan. Like, if I was rich and had nothing better to do with my life, I would do exactly what he was doing. He's just sitting courtside at every playoff game. The guy's awesome.
And he's a super fan, but not demonstrative. He just goes to all the games, but he's not making himself the center of attention. He's not shouting and screaming and standing up. He just goes and watches all the games quietly, all of them.
He's unmissable. Once you know who he is, just the camera will pan through the crowd, and you're like, hey, there's James. He's at that game, too.
He's
fantastic.
He's the Where's Waldo of the NBA playoffs, basically, now. So all right, Dave, here's the thing for non-NBA fans. You got to give them some fresh meat here. What's your craziest playoff fact, the kind of interesting storyline or fun fact that you think would draw non-NBA fans in this year?
So, Grayson, I don't know how you feel about being really mean to people.
Law school. He graduated from law school, Dave. We know how he feels about it.
Okay. So you're pretty in favor of it. So the Thunder have a player by the name of Andre Roberson. Great defender, excellent on that end of the ball, but he can't shoot. The Rockets have taken to intentionally fouling this guy to make him shoot free throws. And he's just hapless. He can't do it. So the other day, he's just missing, and the entire Rockets bench is standing up and just openly mocking and laughing at him. It's unbelievable. Cold-blooded.
It's so mean. It was like bullying, except that the guy they were bullying is a professional athlete who makes millions of dollars to do what he does for a living. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know where I stand on it.
Like, my gut reaction is like, don't do that to Andre. But now I'm also like, Andre, you make millions of dollars. You got to hit a free throw, man.
It's one of the job hazards, I think.
Any flashbacks to law school with that story, Grayson?
No, man. I feel like my law school classes were pretty nice.
Oh. How about you, Dave, from your week in law school? Did it remind you of anything?
Yeah, it makes me – that's. I felt exactly like Andre Roberson the entire time I was in law school.
Love it. No. All right. So that's enough of the NBA playoffs.
All right. So we're excited this week. We got Grayson, lawyer. Mm-hmm. He knows a lot about the law. And our listeners, we just put it out through the internets. Hey, Grayson's coming on. We've had lawyers on before, but they just went to George Washington. They didn't go to Penn. And so it just questions have been pouring in. They're like, you got a guy that went to Penn? Like, can we ask him questions? So we got tons of them for you. Are you ready, Grayson?
I'm ready. I'll answer what I can.
So our listeners should know this is free legal advice. The opinions he's offering are legally binding. And consider it – these are billable hours. So
that's absolutely not true. This is not legal advice.
Okay.
This is true. Entertainment purposes only.
Okay. Entertainment purposes. We're gonna have the real Micro Machines guy talking real fast with all of our legal disclaimers. So this is a good start-off question. This is old Coleman Sanderson, longtime listener, first-time writer from Gilbert, Arizona. He writes, "Grayson, dear Grayson, is the contract that I signed on a napkin at Chili's legally binding?" I need an official lawyer to weigh in on this.
I mean, well, it depends what's written on the napkin, right? I mean,
oh, we're gonna. Well, I don't know. You say right like I know, but I really don't. Say a bit more.
Well, I mean, sure. Like the kind of paper that you use to write the thing on doesn't make a difference, right? I mean, it's
so whether it's Chili's or the Olive Garden, each company's napkin is equally good as like a legally binding contract paper. That's the big takeaway.
Yeah, that's the takeaway. Yeah, any.
No, so excellent. What does make it legally binding? Do there have to be other witnesses present, or does it have to be written in a certain way, or can it not be in pencil, or what are the kind of criteria which would make it legally binding?
So none of those things would really matter. Like whether you write, you can write it in crayon, like it doesn't really make a difference. But just generally speaking, the substance of a contract involves an agreement essentially between two parties, right? Somebody makes an offer, the other person accepts that offer, and then there's some kind of exchange or action taken, either in reliance on that promise or the legal term is called consideration. It's essentially you exchange something or you make a change in your legal status as a result of the promise being made, and then that makes it kind of effective as a contract. There's a lot more to it, but like in a couple sentences, that's what it is.
That's the Chili's version of contract law.
So the answer is common. It could be legally binding.
It could be. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know what you did at the Chili's, but it could be.
It all depends on the consideration that you exchanged in the Chili's parking lot.
The short answer is yeah. I mean, you could definitely have a contract written on a napkin as long as you had all of the required parts of a contract.
So. And most successful professionals do. We'll just put it out there. I think most people get their start with Chili's napkin contracts. So
that's what my employment contract was written on, so I feel pretty good about it.
All right, Dave, you got a question from one of the listeners?
Yeah, this is from our old friend Jack Pragill in Tampa Bay, Florida.
Jack Pragill?
Yeah, he's contributed frequently.
He's from the pasta family. He's a wealthy heir.
He says, Grayson, are you a personal injury lawyer? If not, why not? Those guys seem pretty cool.
I'm not a personal injury lawyer. They do seem pretty cool, don't they? They're so charismatic. Big personality. They got the look, the charisma, all that.
Good TV presence.
Good TV ads, yeah. I know some personal injury lawyers. I think it could be a good job, you know. But no, I'm not one because I just have other types of law that I'm more interested in practicing. Okay.
Go ahead, yeah.
Oh, nothing. I was just finishing my thought.
Okay, yeah. Well, I don't want you to do that on this show, so
no.
Please.
Yeah. No full thoughts.
We got a Buddy Heald. From Sactown, from Sacramento, capital city of Sacramento. A lot of laws happening there. He says, Grayson, I'm just getting into the industry, getting into the field. I'm developing my personal favorite list of judges. And I want to know, just quick off the top of your head, who are your top three judges of all time?
Top three.
That's tough to choose, really, from the so many favorites.
Yeah. Top three judges, I'd probably say Justice Brandeis.
Ooh.
He's one of my top judges. I think he was really a good writer and played an important role in the development of laws that helped a lot of people a long time ago and continued.
I believe that the mascot of Brandeis University are the judges. I think is a true fact. Yeah, look this one up.
No, that makes sense.
That's like a real legacy move, Louis Brandeis. Well done.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So clearly he's top three.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's top three. Another top three I'd probably say is a judge that I worked for between my first and second years of law school. He was a one-time Chief Justice of the Third Circuit. He's just very, you know, well-respected and a really decent person to work for, and he helped me a lot.
This is Wapner?
Oh, Sirica is his name? Oh, okay.
It wasn't Sirica. Wapner.
No.
Okay. No. Not Judge Judy either.
No, not Judge Judy. Or Judge Reinhold.
That's a great third judge, actually. Sneak that one in.
No, my I was going to say my third is Judge Dredd, actually.
No wonder Dave asked you on the episode. That's good. Judge Dredd.
It wasn't me. Buddy Hield. I didn't know he had such an interest in the law. That's great. This is from Dr. Richard Romero in East Lansing, Michigan.
Filmmaker.
I'm preparing to represent myself in a legal hearing. What movie do you think will best prepare me to do this?
I like his style. He's not like, hey, what should I read? What book should I read? He's like, tell me which movie I need to watch to represent myself.
A few come to mind. I'd say, you know, I mean, the obvious one that everyone's going to say would be To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right? Mm.
Mm, that's helpful.
Atticus Finch, classic.
I'd throw in a couple others. I'd say there's a movie, a Paul Newman movie called The Verdict, which I think is really good.
Yeah, handsome actor.
Mm. My cousin. What about My Cousin Vinny? Classic courtroom drama.
That was actually my next suggestion.
Okay. Sorry to steal your thunder there, Grayson. I should have just been patient.
I think, that, I mean, I'm not a lawyer here, guys. I did go to a semester of law school.
Well, you paid for a semester. Did you attend the whole semester?
You did a year, man. Did you? Because you and I met during this summer. Wasn't it the summer?
I dropped out in the second semester.
Okay, so you did a full semester. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I did the finals and everything. But for my money, Tom Cruise lawyering is the best lawyering you can get. If you want drama and if you really want to win your hearing, you need to be prepared to tell someone that you want the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to be ready to say that.
To advocate for yourself, Dr. Yeah. Richard.
Yeah.
Okay. Another big question. This is from Chuck Blazer. I don't know if you've crossed paths with him. He's living in Manhattan.
Well, Blaze?
Yeah, the Blaze dog. He said, "And I'm actively trying to avoid paying any taxes," which I guess is a New York City thing. I don't know. He says, "What's your advice for me on this front? And P.S., I don't want to end up like Wesley Snipes."
He doesn't want to pay any taxes of any kind.
I mean, that's
if you want to avoid paying income taxes, you know, the key is to just not make any income.
Ah, well,
there you go.
But then there's sales tax, there's property tax, on property, there's use taxes, there's all kinds of taxes. There's a lot of them, man. I don't know. Actually, I do a lot of a lot of tax law work.
They don't call it tax evasion law in the biz.
I mean, maybe somebody who thinks that people should pay more than they're required to pay might call it.
Yeah, okay, burn. Fair enough.
Boom.
Just trying to overpay. That's all.
I'd say pay your taxes, follow the law. It's always less expensive to follow the law.
Okay.
So Chuck, two options, pay your taxes, or two, quit your job and steal everything.
Divest yourself of all property. I don't know what other taxes, how to avoid stuff. I guess offshore accounts, capital gains, but declare losses in some kind of tricky way. I don't know what the professionals do. Register in Antigua. Shell companies. All right.
So Grayson, this is a heavy hitter here. We were saving it. I'm not sure if you're ready for it, but this comes from Larry Lessig in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He writes, "If you were going to make a constitutional amendment, what would it be? My vote is for one that guarantees the right to one party and two absolves Tom Brady from Deflategate."
That's true, I think, because as of this date, constitutional jurisprudence maintains that the right to party is alienable, must be fought for.
Damn, that was dry. That was dry, but very good. It's alienable, Dave. It must be fought for. That'd be a great class of like 2018 law school t-shirt, don't you think? Sell it right before spring break.
Constitutional amendments, man. Yeah. That's a tricky question.
It's been a while since we've had one.
It has been a long time. But I actually really like constitutional law in law school. Probably my favorite class. I studied law in college as well. I think it's really interesting. But Justice Stevens, retired Justice Stevens, wrote a book a few years ago where he proposed a number of amendments. I think six. There's like six specific amendments to the Constitution that he proposed.
Hmm. So that's kind of surprising to me that a retired Supreme Court lawyer would be proposing constitutional amendments.
Like ask Congress to do anything, but he just wrote a book and he kind of said like these are six things that if I could,
I like that actually. But is that a common move for judges?
No, he was on the court for 35 years, I think.
Yeah,
so it was very well respected.
So of those six, are there any that like strike you as something that you think would be an important thing to do?
There's a couple. I mean, one of them, he thinks that the death penalty should be unconstitutional, which I think is interesting. I personally don't really like the death penalty.
Me neither.
Yeah, I think that would create a lot of animosity. I think there'd be a lot of argument regarding that. Yeah, that would be interesting to present that.
I mean, it would clarify things because the states have been having increasing problems because some judges have ruled that executions by nature are cruel. Not that they're unusual. I mean, they ought to be unusual, but that there's cruelty involved. It's hard to imagine a cruelty-free killing. But states have a weird burden there. So that's sort of constitutional, but it's not explicit, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, so far it's still a state issue.
Interesting.
And then the other one that I like, which my understanding is that even political scientists aren't really settled on the actual effects of gerrymandering. But last time I was in college, which was like a while ago, it almost seems like a different country now from when I was in college and studying election law. But he proposed an amendment that essentially makes it harder for state legislatures to gerrymander voting districts in their states. And that seems like a really good idea to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a political scientist, but my impression when I studied it and what I've read kind of over the last few years is that has an outsized, disproportionate impact, on democratic processes that discourages political participation in general. And I think in many cases can produce outcomes that are not very democratic.
We've got a big challenge happening right here. I live in Wisconsin. And so a federal judge just ruled in January that it ordered the Republican Party to redraw all of our districts. Because in 2010, after the last census, whoever was in control of the state legislature was able to redraw the districts. And they ruled that it was like a clear gerrymander. And then they need to redraw them. But it's like 7 years later after the original gerrymander, and they're still working this out, and it's unclear what standard they're going to have to meet to prove that it's not gerrymandered, but they still want to preserve their party's partisan advantage. It's just a messy deal.
Yeah, it's very complicated.
Yeah, I just saw John Oliver just did a segment on gerrymandering pretty recently that was interesting. I think it was a state legislature guy. I think it was North Carolina that they were the districts that they drawn up were thrown out because racial discrimination. But there's no law there that's against like drawing them up specifically to help your party win. So he specifically said we're going to redraw these to make it so Republicans can win more seats. And that's legal versus saying we're going to redraw these to make African Americans get less representation, and that's illegal.
Well, the interesting thing, or what's counterintuitive a lot of sometimes, is that you have states, or when a state, for example, might put minority populations together in one voting district so as to dilute their overall impact throughout the state.
Yeah.
In some instances, those populations prefer that because they at least get like one guy.
Yeah, right.
Instead of getting, you know, like diluted across five or however many districts and not getting any representation, at least they'll get somebody, but then you end up with an outsized proportion of majority population districts that end up in the aggregate in, you know, in the total legislature, you know, being disproportionately represented. But so it's hard because it's not, you know, sometimes it's not clear who's like fighting for what. But.
So here's another point of clarification for everybody too. And we call it gerrymandering, and I looked this one up. So to gerrymander is a portmanteau formed from the last name of Massachusetts' former governor, and salamander, because I guess they were saying that the new districts looks like salamander, and it was kind of a snaky, weaselly thing to do. But here's the big controversy. Elbridge Gerry was his last name. He pronounced it with a hard G sound. So we've ruined it by calling it Jerry. It should be gerrymandering, but it just doesn't have the same ring. It's like we're blaming Gary for everything, you know?
Actually, I think that makes it sound way more distasteful. So maybe that would there would be more political progress. Gerrymandering?
Oh,
that sounds
gross,
terrible.
Yeah.
The other great piece of news. So Gary was the vice president for James Madison, but not a lot of people know that the vice president just before him was George Clinton, who was making great funk music well into the 20th century.
The immortal George Clinton.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one wrote in Ask a Lawyer a question about George Clinton this week. Come on, listeners.
No, I'm just glad that Lawrence Lessig wrote in. I was impressed. He's a follower of your guys' show.
Big time. Yeah, he really appreciates our hard-hitting, legal analysis week in, week out. So, Grayson, this is the last question, and it doesn't make as much sense. I believe there was an attachment originally attached that Dave stripped out, but this was from both Donald Sterling and Bill O'Reilly out of Los Angeles. They said, it's a simple question, but is this sexual harassment? I don't know if you can help shed some light on that or help us understand maybe whether this is indeed sexual harassment or not.
Well, I think if you have to ask...
All right.
Then you know.
Occam's razor of sexual harassment. Yeah. There you go. All right. Thanks, listeners.
Yeah. And thank you, Grayson, for your legal insight.
Apologies. None of us any legal advice. Just for the listeners out there.
He's really making sure that disclaimer has been emphasized. You know, we're going to edit this all out, Grayson. We're going to make it sound like it's real. I'm going to actually charge people to download this episode, too, so don't worry.
Since we do have legal experts, and now on the podcast this week, everyone has an advanced degree, Steele.
It's true. This is the most educated show we've ever done.
Yeah. Grayson has like 6 degrees, which is that one less than you, Steele, or?
Well, I don't know. It's not about counting degrees. He's able to put his to positive use. Like, he's making a career and making a living with his degrees. I'm basically living in subsidized student housing and just can't.
A drain on society.
I am, yeah.
I don't want to talk you down. I just want to build you up today, Steele.
Thanks, Dave.
Because this week we're gonna do some rankings. We get lots of requests for our insight, as you just saw with the questions that we had. We just want to provide people with an understanding of what the most off-the-chain things are.
Yeah.
And we're just going to do some quick hits and rank them according to off-the-chainness. I think we'll each just kind of pick from different categories and let everybody know what the most off-the-chain thing in that category is. Are you guys comfortable with that?
Very, very. Okay. Dave, this is the first one, and it's summer. Summer's happening. A lot of people are making travel plans. They're trying to see more of the United States. People think about road trips, vacations, et cetera. And a lot of people have been asking us, Dave, Grayson, Steele, what are the most and least off-the-chain states in the United States of America?
So my gut reaction, I love Arizona. I'm about to say Arizona, but it's just not – it's simply not true. I think we all know – that California is the most off-the-chain state in the United States.
I can get down with that. I think California is very, very great.
You've got the beaches. Vin Diesel lives there. You've got mountains, national parks, and The Rock also lives in California.
Well, perfect trifecta.
Both of them. Hey, what do you say, Steelman?
Yeah, I think California's very off the chain. You know, another state that's underrated in its off the chainness would be the great state of Hawaii, especially as not a residence place, but just as a visiting place, a kind of surf locale, a lot of interesting food, a lot of interesting culture, and it's beautiful year round.
Yeah, and shave ice, that's from Hawaii. Shave ice is delicious.
I didn't know that. See, there's another reason.
Yeah. Grayson, do you have a top ranked state?
I don't, man. These are some compelling arguments.
I can tell you what state is most on the chain.
Oh, please do.
It's Missouri. Missouri, that place is a butthole.
Oh, jeez. Come on, Steele. Have you ever even been to Branson?
I have, yeah. I know you were going to bring up Yakov Smirnoff in another episode, so I'll save that one, but she's the pride and joy of Branson.
Really?
Yeah. You guys are ridiculous.
He had a comedy theater for about a decade, because he knows how off the chain Branson is.
Yeah.
I apologize to Missouri. I love you guys there.
I'm pretty sure he was not paying income taxes, though, so I don't know.
Well, he's a citizen of Soviet Russia, so he doesn't have to pay taxes to anybody.
Yeah,
so he's okay.
Dave, another category or topic we need to assess the chainness on and off of.
Okay, easy. Beans. What form of bean or kind of bean is most off the chain? Grayson.
Off the chain?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm caught off guard, man. I got all these names of beans running through my mind.
There's a lot riding on this. Your professional reputation's at stake.
off the chain beans?
Yeah.
Yes. So not on the chain. So we're not talking lima beans. Lima beans is not the answer. I'm going to throw you a lifeline here,
Boston
Grayson.
Boston beans, maybe.
Baked.
Boston
baked.
Okay. Baked beans. Yeah.
I just said Boston baked, man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we heard you. Yeah, we're just repeating it to kind of emphasize the great opinion you had. it's a radio trick.
Dale, what's your answer?
You know, actually, Dave, I think we've been really into butter beans lately.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Butter beans. Really?
They don't eat them on their own, but they're just a nice mix-in.
Now they're pretty large, aren't they? It's like it's like a sizable bean, correct?
They're a little larger than kidney beans, but they're flatter. They're less three dimensional, and they do have a rich buttery flavor. You know, it's the name is apt. They are butter beans.
And
what about Sean Bean? You guys watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, he's very off the chain. It was real sad when he was.
Spoiler
alert. Beheaded.
Mr. Bean.
You got to know, if you're watching a show with Sean Bean, he's going to get killed gruesomely.
Everything. Yeah.
So it's not a real spoiler.
Hey, Mr. Bean is not off the chain, Grayson.
He's on, for sure.
He's very on the chain. But the correct answer here is, of course, refried beans, guys.
Yes.
So delicious.
Yes.
It's the best bean.
Dave, I haven't had refried beans in probably 5 or 6 years.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I just like them whole. I'll eat black beans. I'll eat all kinds of beans. But once you refry them, you know, I had problems with gas in college, and I think it's primarily connected to refried beans. My colon's much cleaner.
It's worth taking the hit. I haven't had refried beans in like an hour. I love refried beans.
You know, my wife and I just celebrated our 5th anniversary, and I would attribute it mainly to my having abstained from refried beans so far. I haven't killed her with the covered wagon yet.
Next category for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Snacks.
Ooh.
So this could just be your current ranking, something you're into right now. It doesn't necessarily have to be the greatest snack of all time, but what do you guys got?
Marcona almonds.
Ooh. Flavored?
No. You ever had these? So these almonds are Spanish, and they fry them in this Spanish oil. in NCAA. Oh. They're great.
That sounds pretty high end. Can you get those in the Midwest?
Yeah, you can get them anywhere.
Okay.
I've never thought to fry an almond before. It sounds like a wonderful decision.
Great. Mm-hmm. You should, I bet they, I mean, any grocery store's got them. They're great.
Okay.
Maybe just in Manhattan, Grayson. I've never heard of this thing.
Only in Manhattan.
All right. So if I'm gonna name an off the chain snack, I'm gonna stay high end and I'm gonna say Jack Doritos. Very gourmet. Very delicate flavor palette. I like the when the powder and the stuff is so thick you can't even see the underlying chip. After like six or seven of them, like all the mucus has been stripped out of your mouth. Mm. You got this chemical sweat, but you just have to keep eating them because it kind of tingles. I don't know what they've done, but it's
a miracle. What they've done is a miracle.
I do like Jack Doritos, to my great everlasting disgrace.
Still, up until like 2 years ago, I hated Doritos. I would never eat them, and now it's my top snack. Like, legitimately, I buy Doritos at least once a week. I have like a real problem. I don't like, I'll be eating them while I'm working, and I'll have to like wipe Dorito stuff on my pants, and then I'll wash my hands because I'm gonna go see a sick person. But like there'll be like Dorito stuff on the rest of my mouth.
That's what sets you apart as a healthcare professional. Your Dorito stained fingers.
But a snack I've been huge into this week, just salted peanuts, you know, with the shell on. Yeah, I like to do a little bit of work to get my snack. I don't want the snack just given to me. I want to do something to make it happen.
So I'm stunned, Dave. I was expecting something sugary. I thought you were a sugary guy, a candy guy, and you're picking something savory here.
A snack feels like a savory thing.
Rather than a treat. Not a treat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a treat. How about you, Steele? You got anything that you want to look at ranking?
Yeah, you know, the big thing that we've been into lately on Friday night, Cedar, I have a three-year-old, Grayson, his name's Cedar, and we've been watching nature documentaries with him lately. And he's been especially into orcas and sharks lately. So we've been watching a lot of these ocean documentaries. And the undersea world is amazing, the variety of creature that lives down there. So the question that we wanted to pose is for everybody, what would you say is the most off-the-chain undersea creatures?
Undersea creature. How far under the sea?
You pick.
You define it.
It could be shallow to deep. I mean, you could have one at every level if you wanted. We can, this show can.
Tide pools, deep, trench, whatever you want to do.
Oh, trench. Yeah. Anglerfish.
I'm a huge fan of sea turtles.
Oh, yeah.
They're just a wonderful creature. You can go swimming with them, and they just look wonderful. And apparently they taste delicious, but that is not something
that's brutal,
that I encourage.
That's...
I'm just remembering from, like, all my novels of 1800s seafarers, and they love to catch sea turtles and eat them. I wouldn't recommend it now because they're just such a lovable creature.
Dave, one of the great experiences of my life, we were in Hawaii last Christmas. We were out swimming in the ocean, and I saw a sea turtle 5 feet away from me. It was
it's wonderful.
It, like, I was giddy. I tingled like a young child. That's maybe not the best. I know. I'm going to strike that one from the record.
No, I don't like where this is going, Steele.
No, I was giddy. I was giddy. It was stunning, man. It was a beautiful, like, large floating thing, and it moved, and it was graceful, and then it was gone. It was almost like a mirage, but it was awesome.
I got a very similar experience in Hawaii, but it was actually like two or three sea turtles swimming around us. Really neat.
Oh, you're gonna one-up me, huh? Thanks a lot, jerk.
Yeah, it was way cooler experience than yours. One of the turtles actually winked at me. Just gave me a good wink.
He gave you a demo from his band.
I'm gonna say Ursula from Little Mermaid.
Yeah, so my wife teaches business communication, and she was asking me for resources for how to talk about body language the other day. And I was like, I know just the thing. And I played her the little song, you know, and don't underestimate the importance of body language. You know, I did the dance, and I don't think her class is ever going to be the same.
Grayson, Ursula's the worst, man. What are you talking about?
She's the queen of contract law, Dave. I don't know. I understand what the problem is.
Never would have happened. She empowered the whole thing.
It's just a little consideration. It's just your soul. That's all you're exchanging. Chili's napkin, piece of seaweed. It's all binding.
How about you, Steelman? What's yours?
Undersea creature? Boy, there's so many good ones, but there's this, the cuttlefish, I think, is the real interesting one. Not the DD, but C-U-T-T-L-E. They're like undersea chameleons. They can make their skin turn different colors really rapidly, and they can also, what they'll do is they'll make this, like, bright strobe light electrical pulse effect, which will shock and stun their prey just from the visual effect, and then they'll jump up and gobble it.
Oh, wow.
That or the tessellated wobbegong, or tasseled wobbegong or something, I don't remember, but those are my two favorite lately. They're both masters of disguise and just really fascinating underwater creatures that could never exist on land. But
and beast off the chain is Dory from Finding Dory. That movie is brutal.
So bad.
It felt like it was 3 hours long. I can't believe that's a movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one yet, Grayson?
No.
No, it's on his bucket list, though.
He got great reviews. Everyone said it was great, but I didn't see it.
Yeah. Oh no! Don't do it. It's brutal.
If you ever get the chance to represent Ellen, just don't. Just say no thanks.
Grayson, anything that you're interested in ranking?
Big diesel films, man. I got to put Pacifier out there.
So off the chain. You know, that was really. Before I met Dave, I really thought of Vin Diesel as the star of The Pacifier. I had no idea he had this other film career. And Dave's really turned me on. I guess he's done a lot of action films, but I really think of him as a kind of children's film star. Always will.
I always remember him as the guy from Saving Private Ryan.
There you go.
Yeah,
which I'm just now reading for the first time.
He was totally likable. Yeah. Guys, this may not shock you, but I did see Fast and Furious 8, Fate of the Furious.
Uh-huh.
You did? I was waiting for the right moment.
It's now.
And it was amazing. Just to let you guys know, at the start of the film, Vin Diesel gets involved in a drag race in Cuba.
Classic.
The only way he's able to win this is he makes a handmade turbo with a Coke can. Literally, this is true. And his engine catches on fire and he has to turn his car and start driving in reverse, but he's still he's almost going to win this race, but he's not going to quite make it. But then his engine explodes, which propels him forward to make him win. And it's amazing.
Was it an unplanned explosion, or did he kind of engineer it somehow just for the win?
No, it wasn't 100% planned. It was just fate.
Wow.
The fate of the Furious.
Wow.
All right, Steele, you want to know how long me and Dave have known each other?
I do.
When me and Dave used to hang out, there were only two Fast and Furious movies.
Whoa. This was like early 90s then, huh?
This is a generation ago. I remember when you were going to get, Dave, you were going to get your license plate. It was going to say Too Fast, and you were going to make Melissa say Too Furious.
Unfortunately, that never happened, but the tattoo is still in place. So.
One on each buttock, Dave? Is that where you placed them?
Yeah. Too Fast, Too Furious. Yeah.
Okay, here's another burning question, Dave, for you and Grayson. Okay. I know you guys are both big fans of the genre, but our son Cedar, right now he's only watching nature documentaries, but I know before long he's going to become interested in children's television. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's out there. I think I've heard it's a golden age with Comedy Central or the Cartoon Network and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the most off-the-chain children's TV show out there.
So the biggest hit with my kids right now, and I think Cedar would be into, is the Octonauts. It's a group of penguins and bears and various creatures that travel undersea to help animals that have been injured. And every episode, you learn about a new undersea creature.
They're animated? And, or this is like, okay.
No, it's animated.
Highly trained.
And they'll show. So that's top ranked with my girls. But right now, me and my girls are watching Avatar: The Last Airbender, which is
nice.
Fantastic. My girls are into it.
I'm going to say The Affair. It's a gritty show on Showtime about told from the perspectives of both persons.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah.
Dark drama. They'll love it.
So sexual intrigue and human relationships.
It won all the awards. It won like best show and best drama or whatever. You know?
I only want the best for my son, so I'm convinced, Grayson. the show that actually, we haven't watched it at all, but Cedar's into these, he'll watch little videos when he brushes his teeth, but he's a big fan of the Story Bots. They have a bunch of songs about dinosaurs. I don't know if that's a TV show, but I assume that it is.
It is. It's pretty good. It's no Octonauts, though.
It's educational.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
Let's close the rankings down with two quick final rankings. Of course, these go hand in hand. Rank your favorite guitar jam, and then rank your favorite jam.
Okay.
Just as in the fruit kind.
Guitar jam, it's still got to be, you know, early Pearl Jam, Alive. You guys remember that song?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
That song, you just feel Eddie Vedder pouring his heart out. You know, he survived, and then it just shreds. Just melt your face off, bad 90s guitar jam. And I... Mm-hmm. Till I die, that's going to be my guitar jam, my go-to, Dave. And then fruit jam, I really enjoy cherry jam. No sugar added, but cherry jam.
Oh, no. Is that like a tart jam is what you're wanting?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's good on, like, English muffins.
Grayson, what do you got? Anything?
Guitar jam?
Yeah.
Probably that song Jacqueline that you wrote that you used to play a long time ago.
That's a good
one. Yeah, me and my sister could shred that song.
Yeah, you're a regular Lenny Kravitz, Dave.
Fruit jam?
I don't know. Probably basically anything that Tom Waits plays.
Yeah.
Anything by him, he'd probably do it.
Accordion rock, I always call it.
Jam? The fruit kind. I don't eat that much jam.
You don't have to eat a lot of jam to be able to appreciate jam.
Jeez.
Let me write that down. That was some good.
I was expecting something like 8 year aged fig marmalade or something. I was thinking like, what do they eat in the Lower East Side? They don't eat any conventional fruit.
Upper East Side,
imported star fruit or.
Guys,
do you have a baseball bat over your shoulder currently?
No, it's a pool noodle.
Okay. I was like, geez, Dave's got a bat on set. I'm trying to act tough for Grayson tonight. Listen, you don't have a favorite jam?
I'll teach you one.
All right.
So the guitar jam, it's going to be Broken Chairs by Built to Spill.
Oh, terrific.
They'll play that for like 20 minutes, and you know you're going to enjoy it. And then jam, I just give me strawberry. I love it. That's all I need, a nice strawberry jam.
Our listeners now know a lot of off-the-chain favorites.
That's true.
Yeah, they'll go out and try new jams. Strawberry and cherry. Minds have been blown.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel tonight, Dave. What do you got for us next?
Okay, well, we better close this down before it gets worse. we're going to finish off, of course, with some music. Unchained Melodies. Steele, I've been feeling a little bit cranky this week.
Mm.
I've found myself in conversations with patients where, like, I'm just trying to tell them something, but they're acting as if I'm trying to argue with them. And it's really frustrating. Like, no. I'm just saying that this could make you feel nauseous. I'm not saying anything else. That's all I'm saying. And like, I'm getting like really frustrated and they're arguing with me. So I feel angsty.
I'm sorry, Dave. I know I like to talk back to my doctor about medical advice. So I'm part of the problem. I'm like, show me your medical license. Where's your degree from? Well, I've read the internet, so my opinion's as valid as yours.
And I totally accept anything they're saying. I'm like, oh yeah, fine, but let me just throw this in there. But, oh geez. So we picked some, I got angsty music for okay. you tonight, Steele. So the first one I'm going to pick, these are actually modern songs that sound like they could have been written in the 90s. This is by a band called Bleached.
That wasn't even three chord rock. That was like two chord rock, and the distorted faux English vocals. I'm feeling it, Dave. That's very 90s.
Yeah, if you feel angsty, it's totally appropriate. It goes with how you feel.
All right, Dave. I had to reach back in the archives for this because angsty's not my go-to emotion anymore. I think I've mellowed little bit.
Really?
Okay. Less peaks and valleys for me. But I dipped back in, and I was thinking, I got to go back in time a little bit for this, maybe early 90s-ish. And so I was thinking for the first one, I'm going to go with classic Fugazi song, Waiting Room.
Oh. They're angsty, all right.
It's hard for me to listen to that because I feel so emotionally detached from it now, but I know that there was a time when I was like, yeah, I was feeling it really. I was like, that song could move me. And it's a little embarrassing to admit that about myself.
Grayson, have you been moved yet by either of these songs?
Well, I didn't really know what the theme was, but after hearing the first two that you guys suggested, I put one on there. It's by Misfits. It's called Where Eagles Dare.
Oh.
Halloween makeup. Here it comes.
I felt angsty. Yeah. Yeah.
What makes that is it's the extra syllable in bitch, really. Bitch. That's yeah. make, that's what makes that so good. Yeah.
It's back when Danzig was still around, too. That's a good one.
Those were the days of angst and existential fear, I think.
Angst doesn't have to ever end. This is, again, a band. I think this song came out last year. They're called the Hotelier. It sounds exactly like it's from the 90s. This song's called Goodness Part 2. Keeps doing this for a while.
Repetitive kick drum, check. Emotional vocals, check. Sort of discordant jangle guitar, check. I think we've got all the ingredients of an angsty song there, Dave.
I think that's the definition of their genre of music. Actually, this band is helping to lead the emo revival still. You know that's happening.
Not a day too soon.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Okay, so I feel like the low-hanging fruit were songs by men in this genre, I have to say. So I felt like I wanted to do my duty and try to bring an angsty song by a woman. And I picked this song and I was talking to my wife about it. And she's like, no, that's not angsty. PJ Harvey, she's breaking shit and starting fires. That's not angsty. That's awesome. But I'm going to pick it anyway. With that caveat, I had to say that my wife said that's not angst. Angst is weak. She's strong. So this is PJ Harvey, 50-Foot Queenie from her Rid of Me record. And I'm going to jump to the end here.
I don't understand any words she was singing, but it seemed like it was lewd, Steele. I'm going to be honest.
Probably. But proud of it, you know? Yeah. No shame in that.
I think there was some angst in there. That's not, she's got angst. I think that's an appropriate pick. Is Grayson, are you agreeing with us that angst is essentially a 90s emotion?
It depends. You know, if you're talking like existential dread, then that's definitely not a 90s emotion.
Timeless. That's a timeless.
timeless. So I don't know if that's quite the same thing. Angst, I feel like at least it has a little bit of hope to it, you know, because there's frustration there.
Oh, yeah, right. It's not total despair. That's the difference.
Actual dread. It's not actual.
I think, Dave, to identify the angst, the emotion with the 90s, is to confuse the personal with the universal. Angst is the 90s emotion because of our age and when we were born. Those were our teenage years. That's why we think of angst as a 90s feeling. But if we'd been born in the 70s, the 80s would have been the years of angst if we'd been born 10 years later. You know, it's just a period of a man's life.
We would have been playing Depeche Mode in The Cure if we were born in the 70s.
Yeah. All right, Grayson, take us out of something. What do we got here?
One last one. So this is a more angry than angsty. Maybe I feel that way because this band, all their songs are so like happy usually. There's a punk rock band from, they're called Teenage Bottle Rocket. They're actually from Wyoming, which is one of the reasons why I really like them. I'm from Idaho, by the way.
Me too. Boise.
Oh, really? No way. I'm from Rexburg.
Wow.
These guys are from Laramie, and they're like a Fat Records band, you know, like one of the actual kind of still playing, touring, like punk bands from that era. And I like that they're, you know, from the middle of nowhere in Wyoming. They remind me of like when my friends and I growing up used to like play guitars in our basement, you know, like thinking one day we would make it as like a punk band or like, what would that be like? You know, and these guys actually did it. Like,
this was the point of reference. How the dream realized.
No, these guys, I didn't even know about them until like two years ago. And that's kind of what makes them great is it's like, I'm now discovering these bands who kind of like did what I dreamed of doing when I was a lot younger, you know, and they like made it. Like I went and saw them. They like came on tour with Philadelphia and stuff.
Cool.
It was just, it was cool. Like you see their music videos in their shop, like their homemade videos, like in people's homes that look just like the town I grew up in. Mm. So yeah, I think they're great. But the song, it's called I Want to Die. So that's about it.
Yeah. So we'll go out on uplifting little number from Teenage Bottle Rocket.
I don't. Does that qualify as angst? I'm not sure.
There was not a ton of subtlety, really, in their approach to that song.
the layers of nuance in early '90s.
Well, Grayson, the other tradition we have, we always do an Unchained Melodies, and then before we close the episode, we always want to try to leave people a little bit wiser than when they started listening. And so we go out with book wisdom. Right. We share a passage from a work of literature that's been meaningful in some ways in our lives. Dave, you have a passage from book wisdom for us tonight?
I do. Since how the song theme was angst, I went with, I guess, the ultimate in teenage book, as far as I'm concerned. I read this when I was a teenager, and it really spoke to me. And our friend Howard, he read it like last year. And I haven't read it for a few years, and he's like, why do you even like this?
Is it the Book of Mormon?
Still, it's someday you'll come back to us. Catcher in the Rye.
Oh, okay. The other ultimate teenage book, sorry.
Yes, there's two of them. Well, three. Bible as well. kind of put yourself in your frame of your 16 again.
Holden Caulfield. I'm ready.
Lawyers are all right, I guess, but it doesn't appeal to me, I said. I mean, they're all right if they go around saving innocent guys' lives all the time and like that, but you don't do that kind of stuff if you're a lawyer. All you do is make a bunch of dough and play golf and play bridge and buy cars and drink martinis and look like a hot shot.
This is a personal. This is getting personal, Grayson.
No, man, So I'm glad to hear that this is what we do. I'm looking forward to being able to do that stuff.
Okay, is there more, Dave?
Or
is
there's more. It was not just a personal attack at Grayson.
For the record, what we do is sit at a desk, and that's it.
And make lots of dough, so. All right. And besides, even if you did go around saving guys' lives and all, how would you know if you did it because you really wanted to save guys' lives or because you did it because what you really wanted to do was be a terrific lawyer with everybody slapping you on the back and congratulating you in court when the goddamn trial was over. The reporters and everybody, the way it is in the dirty movies. How would you know you weren't being a phony? The trouble is you wouldn't. I'm not too sure old Phoebe knew what the hell I was talking about. I mean, she's only a little child and all, but she was listening at least. If somebody at least listens, it's not too bad. Daddy's gonna kill you. He's gonna kill you, she said. I wasn't listening though. I was thinking about something else, something crazy. You know what I'd like to be? I said. You know what I'd like to be? I mean, if I had my goddamn choice. What? Stop swearing. You know that song, If a Body Catch a Body Coming Through the Rye? I'd like. It's If a Body Meet a Body Coming Through the Rye, old Phoebe said. It's a poem by Robert Burns. I know it's a poem by Robert Burns. She was right, though. It is If a Body Meets a Body Coming Through the Rye. I didn't know it then, though. I thought it was If a Body Catch a Body, I said. Anyway, I keep picturing all these little kids playing some game in this big field of rye and all. Thousands of little kids and nobody's around, nobody big. I mean, except me. And I'm standing on the edge of some crazy cliff. What I have to do, I have to catch everybody if they start to go over the cliff. I mean, if they're running and they don't look where they're going, I have to come out of somewhere and catch them. That's all I do all day. I'd just be the catcher in the rye and all. I know it's crazy, but that's the only thing I'd really like to be. I know it's crazy.
That's beautiful, Dave. Keep kids from going over the cliff. Sounds like Anasazi.
Yeah, if I could just keep working at Anasazi my entire life. Now I just keep my kids from going over the cliff still. That's my main goal right now.
Well, things getting dark in Arizona for you, huh? They're like 4 years old.
Still, I have more than that still. I got five kids.
Yeah.
4 years old and 1 year old. And
the 1 year old's already getting into trouble at school or what?
They're awesome, man. They're super fun. Well, Grayson, I appreciate you being with us tonight. It was fun to talk to you.
Nice. Thanks for having me on. It's good to talk to you again. Off the chain. It's off the chain.
Are you guys ready?
Born ready, Dave. Yeah.
So you finished law school, and are you doing some type of legal internship thing or something?
No, I mean, I'm a lawyer.
Evicting widows, or what are you doing?
I didn't know there was any other kind of law, Dave.
It's evicting widows or trying to get a murderers off of their murder charges.
I mean, hopefully at the same time. If you can do both, that's great.